Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hospice News Elevate podcast. I'm Holly Vossel, senior reporter for Hospice News and Palliative Care News. This episode will discuss the diverse needs of family caregivers and the policies and programs taking shape to address their challenges. Before we begin, a quick note. Our Hospice News podcasts are possible thanks to those in the field willing to share their insights. Let us know if you're interested in participating or sponsoring an upcoming podcast episode by reaching out to us at editor@hospicenews.com. And with that, we'll begin our journey into today's topic. All right. So today, our podcast guest is Stephen Lee, co-founder and CEO of IonaCare. Hello, Steve. Thanks so much for joining our talk today.
Thanks, Holly, for having me. Excited for this conversation.
Yeah, I think in our prep call we were just discussing that excitement as well. It's a hot topic. So before we jump into things, first, would you give us an overview of IonaCare and really what drove the organization forward?
Yeah, our mission at IonaCare is really to encourage, empower, and equip family caregivers. The IANA of IonaCare stands for I Am Not Alone. So we work to really surround the family caregivers with all the right people and resources so they don't have to do that alone. And like most companies, really started out a deep personal experience. My grandfather had Parkinson's. That was 3 decades ago. And that was an enormously challenging journey for my family. And more recently, I met my co-founder, Jessica Kim, and I met her while she was caring for her mom, who had a 7-year battle with pancreatic cancer, unusually long. And that was also an enormously challenging care journey. And more recently, her dad had congestive heart failure. And we recognized that the gaps that existed in caregiving support 3 decades ago with my grandfather, they still exist. And so we set out to do something about it. We've been around since 2018. And since that time, we've served about 50,000 members and really proven to engage families in the actions that improve the outcomes for the patient on things like medication management, appointment, logistics for different care needs, nutrition, physical well-being, financial decisions. These are all non-clinical and non-medical tasks, but they are critical to the well-being of the patient, and they're just often completely overlooked, and the caregivers are on their own to figure it out all themselves. And so we work with employers to support caregiving employees. We work with health plans to support their members who could be patients or caregivers. And we work with healthcare providers, including hospices, to support families of their patients. And the whole goal there is, again, truly integrate and provide a support system for the family caregivers. And it's been rewarding to see our impact. And I think that's what really motivates us and really keeps us moving forward.
Yeah, and thank you for that introduction. And I hear you mentioning some of those gaps in caregiving, and I think that's a good segue to our next question, which is, what are some of the biggest challenges that family caregivers are facing today?
I mean, there are so many. I mean, I think that at the crux of it, caregivers are thrust into the care journey often completely untrained and unguided. It's not something you would prepare for. It's not a role that's really formally seen by the healthcare system. And so the support system just is not there in any kind of coherent way. And so there are a ton of gaps, right? I'll just start with knowledge, right? When you get that phone call, a loved one has a diagnosis, you're on your own. And so just the education to wrap your head around what's happening, to know where the journey is going, what it's going to bring. Again, people are just left to figure that out on their own. You might get a brochure, you might go home and start to Google some things, but that's really it, right? So the education and support around what's coming, what you've just gotten hit with, I think that's a big gap. Beyond that, the financial burden is a big gap. AARP has an often cited study. We actually think it's higher than this, but on average, caregivers are spending $7,000 a year out of pocket. So that's a big gap. And then things like rest, right? Often for serious illness, Alzheimer's and dementia, they are often years-long journeys, and a break goes a long way. And so just respite, right? The ability to take breaks, respite breaks. There isn't a lot of funding provided to help caregivers with that. So that's a gap. Family dynamics, it often is a big issue. How do you make clear who's doing what between the family members, and to make sure, everybody feels they're helping out, but also nobody's resentful that they're doing too much or too little. So family dynamics is a huge issue we help families with a lot. And the resources are just really fragmented, right? There is really a lot out there. AAAs, the local area agencies on aging, those are called AAAs. Every state, every county has them, is federally funded, available in every state. They have a wealth of resources, but nobody knows about it. So just navigating and knowing what's there, those are some of the big gaps. And so what we do at IanaCare is we try to provide the front door. So we walk through the IanaCare front door, and it is that one place for you to go. And we, based on our understanding of your care situation, are working to surround you with the right people and right resource. And so we help you navigate through all those gaps that are there, just again, by working through that front door. But there's certainly no shortage of gaps. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And I think on this similar wavelength of this conversation here is, you mentioned that respite and that great need for just a break there. What are some of the issues, aside from that lack of respite support, what are some of the issues that are fueling that caregiver burden?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is cultural, right? How often do you know someone and you find out later that they went through a caregiving journey, right? People don't talk about it. I think in our work culture, you're afraid to tell your employer you're going through this. You might be fearful that you won't get that promotion, or you won't get the interesting work that you've been looking for. And so people tend to hide it. They go through it alone. And so that's why, we named our company IanaCare, so that people embrace not doing it alone. And so working to change that culture, I think we'll go a long way. So that fuels the caregiver burden. The fragmentation of resources, not knowing what's out there, I think that also fuels it. And we're also talking a little bit in our prep. The baby boomers are aging. And so we have an elder population that doubles from 2000 to 2040, the above 65 population. And we already have a capacity crisis in the healthcare system. I'm in Boston, in Massachusetts. There are large provider groups that have stopped accepting patients because they just don't have the capacity. And so with this aging demographic, this capacity crisis is going to get worse and worse. And we're not going to have three times the doctors, three times the hospital systems. And so a lot of the care is going to get pushed into the home. And at home, it's the caregivers that are having to care for the patient. That burden is moving to the family. It's just not going to get better. So support infrastructure, like what we provide, but others provide it too, is going to be critical to heat off the crisis.
Yeah. And I think in this sort of, as you said, this silent caregiver culture and this fragmentation of resources, what would you say are maybe some of the greatest supportive resources available for family caregivers, and how can they access and become aware of those?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so fragmented. And so again, we try to be that front door. You walk through it, we surround you the right people and right resources. We have multiple layers to our solution. we have what we call the organizer that's free for people to use. So you can go to the App Store or just go to the browser and sign up. It allows you to kind of organize and project manage the care journey and also link your friends and families and neighbors to coordinate help from everyone within your personal social circle. So that's a tool that's available you can use. If we are working with your employer or health plan, or we also work in Medicare in the GUIDE model, which supports family caregivers of patients with dementia. If you're any of those, we have a wealth of educational content and support groups and navigators that become your right-hand man or woman to help you through the journey. And so it's one place to go. So IonaCare is a resource. Beyond that, there are a lot of serious illness associations, American Cancer Society, a wealth of resource on their site. They also have an app that's tailored to caregivers. The Alzheimer's Association, AARP also have a wealth of resource. We have a partnership with AARP, and they've done a great job just producing a wide variety of expert content tailored to caregivers. And then I mentioned this a little earlier, but the local area agency on aging in your county has a lot of resources. It's somebody you could call, and they'll be able to help you figure out what your gaps are and send you to the resources that could help plug those gaps. And ultimately, we believe that systemic change is needed to really embed family caregivers within care models for serious illnesses. And so that's what we're working with providers and policymakers on. And if we're able to successfully embed caregivers into these care models, then I think by just naturally going through the journey, we'll be able to guide you through the resources that are available for you that's appropriate for the journey that you're going through. We think this embedding ourselves in the care model is really important.
And I think it speaks to just, the overwhelming part of being a caregiver. A lot of family caregivers don't have that medical speak. It's difficult to know where to start, right?
So that's why we focus on creating the front door. But so it's finding that front door for you. For some people, it might be IonaCare. For others, American Cancer Society. For others, the Alzheimer's Association. But it's important to find your front door
and know where that front door is. Do you need help with, medical transportation? Do you need help with someone coming in and just sitting with your person? It's a variety of different ways, but knowing where to start and how is I think half the battle. So as far as ways that hospice providers can, better support caregivers, what's your view on that? What are some of those ways they can help those caregivers, connect with the things that they need to be good caregivers?
Yeah. I think to start, just recognizing the role that the caregiver has goes a long way. I think many do. Beyond that, many palliative care and hospice providers are participating in some of these innovative care models that integrate the family caregiver. So we encourage that. We are part of the CMS GUIDE model I mentioned earlier to support patients and their family caregivers that are going through an Alzheimer's and dementia diagnosis. We've gotten to know many hospice providers through GUIDE. We've really learned it's a special type of people that work within palliative care and hospice, and we really love working with everyone. They're so mission aligned and so patient centered. Here in Massachusetts, we work with Care Dimensions. It's the largest nonprofit palliative care and hospice organization in Massachusetts. It's been such a meaningful partnership for us. They have top notch palliative care, clinical care through hospice. And so we have combined that with our wraparound front door support for the family caregiver. And so have implemented the GUIDE model with them. It's very early in the partnership, guide is a new model, but we expect to see impact with better quality of life for the patient, for the caregiver, a decline in caregiver burden, once it's hospice, decline in life discharge to hospitals and so on. But we're really excited that we can scale impact together, combining what we each do really well to serve these families. So I think these types of innovative models, I think, is a great pathway for hospice providers to expand their support for caregivers.
Yeah, and there's more sort of those disease-specific pathways that some hospices are exploring too in that service diversification. So I think that's a good element to include under that umbrella of how we can better support caregivers.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So you touched on how family caregivers play an important role in supporting serious and terminally ill individuals in the home, right? When they're facing something that's a longer trajectory there. I wanted to also bring up what you mentioned around the policies and expound upon that too.
Yeah.
What are the current policies that address caregiver needs?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we should recognize, I think supporting caregivers should be a bipartisan issue. It probably is one of the few truly bipartisan issues that are out there. If we look back at the November election, both candidates had platform to support caregivers. On the Republican side, there were a number of tax breaks on the platform. And then on the Democratic side, looking at adding long-term care into Medicare, which traditionally has been only a Medicaid benefit. So it's a bipartisan issue, and it should be, it has to be. We've been very heartened to see CMMI, so the innovation arm of CMS, fund some of these innovative care models like GUIDE that I just mentioned. That started in the last administration and has continued into this administration. So far is looking safe, knock on wood. I think, it needs to be a bipartisan issue. There's a lot that's kind of brewing on top of that. We have to make the journey easier to navigate, as you said. We have to ease the financial burden. We are looking at policies to help, fund this through tax credits. Pay family leave is a big deal. So many families get thrust into this unexpectedly. Juggling, both kids and then dealing with the diagnosis and then having to deal with work, it's just overwhelming. And so many states have started to implement paid family leave, but it's at the state level. I think we need it at the federal level, to make it, universally available. We talked about respite earlier. I mean, respite is really critical for a lot of these caregivers that are just so burnt out. It doesn't need to be much, right? But just a couple hours or, an overnight shift or one day, like it just can go a long way. With respite, the rates are very challenging. It's hard to get really good workers to relieve these family caregivers. And so there's legislation to look at, making, wages better for these respite care workers and some of these direct care workers. So I think those are some of the critical policies that we really need to look at to ease the strain on our caregivers.
Yeah, and I think that as we're talking over these state level policies, it's also important to explore some of the evolving changes gaining ground at those federal levels too.
Yeah.
So some of the recently proposed federal initiatives include laws that aim to establish greater financial support for families. Some of the things that you were just mentioning. So we've seen legislation come forward for, a potential national caregiver tax credit, grant programs for direct care workers and family caregivers. And there's been talk of a Social Security caregiver credit that would provide those wages to individuals. So to date, not to my knowledge, none of these have come to fruition. But I think these legislative trends lend to a final question we have for you in this podcast episode, which is really, what are your thoughts on some of the systematic or policy changes that are needed at that federal level to ease some of these financial, practical, logistical challenges for family caregivers?
Yeah, I mean, in our view, you know, we just view caregivers as a critical part of the care team when it comes to dealing with serious illness. We really call it the invisible backbone of the healthcare system. And so systemically, at a society level, we have to recognize that. And so we believe we have to embed caregivers into care delivery. Again, see them as part of the integral care team, see them as the integral part of the care team, and not just rely on them, but to provide the support they truly need and deserve, right? And again, we discussed earlier, it's just an impending crisis with the population trends and the capacity constraints. And so we have to act with urgency. I think programs like GUIDE from CMMI is a good step in this direction, right? For the first time, they looked at what it takes to integrate the family caregiver as part of the care team and, you know, give them the adequate support to enable them, to empower them to care, for a really tough situation with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. But that's only one serious illness, right? There, whether it's cancer, congestive heart failure, it's not just Alzheimer's and dementia. The care load is on the caregiver. And so expanding from that and truly embedding the caregiver role in supporting in the care delivery for a lot of these other advanced illnesses, we think that will go a long way. But I think we've taken the initial first steps. We are investing in programs like GUIDE. I think we'll get a lot of clinical results, outcome results, cost savings results from that. Hopefully with those results, we can expand and make sure we look at other serious illnesses as well. So again, to us, it's really about embedding caregivers into the care delivery.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all of your insight today, Steve. Any final thoughts that you have for Hospice News podcast listeners on caregiving?
I appreciate the time and shining the light on this issue. I think before you came on, we talked about a Bradley Cooper documentary that's coming out in May. Mm-hmm. There isn't enough light we can shine on this issue. So we hope everybody watches that. If we can be helpful to any caregiver out there or any hospice organization that looking to support their families, happy to be in touch and chat. But, thanks again for just shining a light on this really important topic.
Thank you for being a part of this episode.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this Elevate podcast. This is Holly Vossel, senior reporter for Hospice News, a WTWH media company. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more episodes. Take care for now.